السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. شيخنا
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، in continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Amir al-Mu'minin fi al-Hadith Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we are upon Babu Silati Rahim, the chapter about the importance or significance of connecting family ties. Yesterday we read Hadith number 49 and Hadith number 50 under this chapter heading. We read Hadith number 49 and the Hadith number 50 on this chapter heading. In Hadith number 49, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was asked, what are the deeds that bring the individual into Al-Jannah and make him become distanced from the fire? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam on that occasion, he said, that ta'budu Allah wa la tushrik bihi shay'a, the individual should serve Allah, worship him, and not join any partners with him. The individual should establish the prayers. The individual should observe the zakah and connect family ties. There was a point of reference which ended that hadith, because we told us at the beginning that companion at Arafah was holding the reins of the Prophet's camel, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at the end of that hadith, as it's in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'in naqa, leave the camel. Because at the beginning, he told us that the companion started by holding the reins of the camel of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke. So after giving him his response, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, da'i naqa, leave the camel, let it go. So they proceeded. That happened at Arafah, as we had mentioned earlier. In the second hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that when Allah created the ties of kinship itself, it stood up and Allah asked it, "Why? What is this standing you are standing?" And then he said, this is the standing of the one who is asking your protection from being disconnected. This is the standing of the one who is asking for your protection against being disconnected. And then Allah told it that, are you not pleased an awsila man wasalaka, that I should connect the one who connects you, one aqta'a man qata'aka, and I should disconnect whoever disconnects you. This is a hadith that told us about an event that had gone in the far past. And this is from the issues of the gaib. From the aspect of believing the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is al-imanu bima akhbar bih, believing in whatever the Prophet narrates to us alayhi salatu wasalam. Also here we recall that the ties of kingship spoke to us, and Allah created it. It spoke. So let's not wonder, how can the tie of kingship speak? So Allah does what He likes. We gave examples regarding salah, regarding debt, and all other issues where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does those things as He wills subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is ever able to do, absolutely ever able to do all that He desires, all that He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, we'll be reading from hadith number 51 in this chapter heading, wherein al-Imam al-Bukhari started, rahimahullah, with the hadith of al-Imam al-Humaydi. Al-Imam al-Humaydi is Abdullah ibn Zubayr. We repeatedly mentioned him regarding al-Imam al-Bukhari, one of the most learned persons from whom al-Imam al-Bukhari had reported hadith was al-Imam Abdullah ibn Zubayr al-Humaydi, the student of two great scholars of Islam, Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, and then Al-Imam al-Shafi. So this hadith has come from Al-Imam al-Humaydi. He said, Haddathana Sufyan. This Sufyan, it may be Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna. It may also be Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. But the most apparent thing Allah knows best is that he has reported this hadith from Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. Because if it were from Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he would say Ibn Uyayna. Allahu a'lam. Either of them that it comes, they are both reliable people. Sufyan ibn Uyayna was from Amir al-Mu'minin, from Umara al-Mu'minin fil hadith. Likewise, Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, they are from the biggest scholars among the scholars of hadith. But Al-Imam al-Humaydi, if he would say, if he refer to Ibn Uyayna, he would say Ibn Uyayna. And if he would say Sufyan, he would say Sufyan al-Thawri. So most likely this Sufyan here is Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. And he was reporting this hadith from Abu Sa'd. Abu Sa'd is Sa'id al-Marzubani. Sa'id al-Marzuban, Abu Sa'id, Abu Sa'd. He is Abu Sa'd, Sa'id al-Marzuban. He is from amongst the scholars of Qira'at. He used to teach people Qira'atul Quran. He reported this hadith from his Shaykh, Muhammad ibn Abi Musa. He reported this hadith from his Shaykh, Muhammad ibn Abi Musa. He is the one who was reporting from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. So it says, Haddathana al-Humaydi, qala haddathana Sufyan, an Abi Sa'd, an Muhammad ibn Abi Musa, an ibn Abbas, qala, wa ati dhal qurba haqqahu wal miskina wa bin as-sabi. Qala bada'a fa amarahu bi awjab al-hukuk. ودله على أفضل الأعمال إذا كان عنده شيء فقال وآخذ القربى حقه والمسكين وبن السبيل وعلمه إذا لم يكن عنده شيء كيف يقول فقال وإما تعرضن عنهم ابتغاء رحمة من ربك ترجوها فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا عِدَّةً حَسَنَةً كَأَنَّهُ قَدْ كَانَ وَلَعَلَّهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَى عُنُقِكَ لَا تُعْطِي شَيْئًا وَلَا تَبْسُطُهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ تُعْطِي مَا عِنْدَكَ فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا يلومك من يأتيك بعد ولا يجد عندك شيئا محصورا قال قد حسرك من أعطيته. This hadith is hadith موقوف. It is موقوف because it has stopped with Abdullah ibn Abbas. It is called موقوف because it has stopped with Abdullah ibn Abbas. Reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the previous two we read under this chapter, hadith 49 and 50, they are referred to as hadith al-marfu'un or al-ahadith al-marfu'a. That one will be called marfu'. But this one from Abdullah ibn Abbas is called mawkuf marfu' because it rose up onto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But mawkuf because it stops with the companion Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, and it has to do with the tafsir of a portion of the Quran. If we look at it, two verses are being interpreted. But let's not forget, in these two verses, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has cited this hadith here by way of making us understand the significance of connecting family ties. Al-Imam al-Bukhari has cited his tafsir regarding these two verses by means of making us understand the significance, the importance of connecting family ties. So he went on to explain these two verses, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and it has been reported here for us in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So he says, radiallahu anhuma, that Allah saying that, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ والمسكين وابن السبيل ولا تبذر تبذيرا. That's how the verse starts in Surah Al-Isra. وآت ذا القربى حقه والمسكين وابن السبيل ولا تبذر تبذيرا. إن المبذرين كانوا إخوان الشياطين وكان الشيطان لربه كفورا. وإما تعرضن عنهم ابتغاء رحمة من ربك ترجوها فقل لهم قولا ميسورا. This portion of the Quran was explained by Abdullah ibn Abbas. Allah says, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. You should give your keep and kin حَقَّهُ their rights. Give the keep and kin their rights. Your fathers, your mothers, your uncles, your aunts, paternal and maternal, your brothers, your cousins, and the rest of your near relatives. Allah says, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. Give handouts to the keep and kin their rights, والمسكين. Likewise, the masakin, those who are in need, وَبِنَ السَّبِيلِ, and those who are travelers, or we can say the wayfarers. Give each of them their rights. The rights of Zul Qurba that Allah mentions here, the rights of kit and kin, is connecting family ties, bringing all kinds of good to them as much as is possible, and preventing and averting every kind of evil from them as much as is possible. This is the rights of the kit and kin, our near relatives. That is their right. Every kind of goodness, goodness in terms of speech, goodness in terms of action, we must direct it to them because it is a thing of right. And that makes us understand the significance of the rights of kith and kin. It is a matter of obligation. That's why here you see Allah refer to it as what haqq. Wa ati zal qurba haqqahu. Give the kith and kin their rights. It shows that it's a thing of importance with Allah. When Allah refers to the relationship between ourselves and a group of persons as a right, it says, حَقَّهُ. Likewise, وَالْمِسْكِينَ, the masakin, the needy, give them their rights. Their rights may come in two ways from this angle. It can come from the aspects of zakah, from the rights of the needy in the wealth of the rich, is that the rich should give them zakawat. This is from the rights of masakin. The second aspect of the rights of masakin is providing them their needs when they are in the circumstances of darura. A person in their need approaches you. I am very, very hungry. And you have. He has a right from that world. He has a right from that world. There are other verses of the Quran. So that the discussion is not elongated. The one who is in need approaches the one who has. Say, can you please, for the sake of Allah, provide me, help me provide so and so and so need, and he is actually in need. It is from his right, although many of us consider it as privilege. It is from the right of the one who is in need that the one who has should give him what he is in their need of. That's why sometimes, if those who are asked from whom requests are made, make good investigation to find out, is that person actually in need, so that they know the extent of the rightfulness of his asking upon them. There's no blame in that, by way of verifying, is this person actually in need, before then they understand, oh, I actually have a right because I have. When we don't have, what do? We are taught in this hadith. When we have, what do? It has a right. So Allah says, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. Kit and kin, give them their rights. وَالْمِسْكِينَ, likewise, those who are in need, give them their rights. وَبِنَ السَّبِيلِ. How about the right of the traveler? The right of the traveler is that he is entertained, firstly. the rights of the traveler is that he's what? He's entertained, he's taken care of because he's upon a journey. That is the first right he has. If that, as a result of that journey, he has come under a difficulty, it is from his duty, it is from his right that that difficulty is removed from him. So likewise, just like Masaki, they have the rights of Zakat, they have the rights of removing their apes. As for the wayfarer, Ibn Sabil, he has the right that he is entertained. He has the right of Diyafa. He has the right of entertainment as a guest, as a visitor, as a traveler. It's a right upon us. If he has traveled all the way, he comes down, he's with you, you have a duty to care for him. He has that right over you. Of course, according to your abilities. That is the first right that the traveling person has over those who are at home. The second right that he has is that if as a result of being on a journey, he comes under a difficulty. Imagine someone is on a difficult on his journey and his tires become, you know, deflated one way or the other. He has a right that he is helped. Unfortunately, if he cannot help himself, he has a right to be helped upon that. That is a difficulty that comes upon him as a result of that journey. So that is the right of Ibn Sabil upon those who are rich. So Allah says in that verse, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. Do not spend. لَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. At-tabzir is to spend. Scholars have two explanations on it. It says, أَنَّفَقَتُ فِي غَيْرِ طَعَةِ اللَّهِ. When a person spends upon disobedience to Allah, upon other than obedience to Allah, they say it is tabzir. Like those who spend to support musicians, like those who support entertainment industry, home videos, and all of these. Allah says, La tubazir tabdira. Do not spend your wealth in support of other than obedience to Allah. That's why the scholars say, if it is a billion that you spend, for example, I'm just giving an example, you spend huge amount of money, it is not considered as overspending as long as it is upon support and obedience for Allah's part. It is not considered as overspending. It's the spending of obedience to Allah. It is not considered as overspending. Many others among the scholars have made this statement. So, wala tubazir tabdira, that is the first meaning. Don't spend upon any other than obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second meaning of la tubazir tabdira is that don't spend your money in such a way that you become poor. Don't spend throughout the money in such a way that the money becomes destroyed. And then tomorrow you begin to come in situations of begging. Don't spend your money in a manner that when you spend it, now you have to beg. May Allah protect us from this. So Allah says, وَآتِ ذَلْقُرْبَى. Give the near relatives حَقَّهُ their rights. وَالْمِسْكِينَ. Likewise, the poor ones, the needy, give them their rights. وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ. Likewise, the traveling person, the wayfarer, provide them their rights. وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. Do not be overspending. Don't be a person who overspends so much that the wealth goes away. Or don't be a person who spends upon things other than obedience to Allah. Allah says, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ. Certainly, those who spend upon things other than obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or those who spend in a way that the wealth finally leaves them, كانوا in the first place, they've ever been إخوان الشياطين. They have ever been the brothers to Shaitan. Why? Because Shaitan, it is ulama say that the reason why Allah said this is that spending upon disobedience to Allah and spending such that the wealth goes away is from the aspects of kufru ni'ma. It's from the aspects of not recognizing favors. It's from the aspects of ingratitude. And Shaitan was an ingrate. That's why Allah connected between these groups of people and Shaitan. That in Kanu Ikhwana Shayafi, these people, in the first place, they are brothers to Shaitan because they behave in the way of Shaitan, who was an ingrate. So spending lavishly and spending upon things other than obedience to Allah is from the aspects of ingratitude. Because if the person was grateful of upon the favors that Allah has given to him. He will not spend that favor Allah upon a thing of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. And shaitan was ungrateful to his Lord who has led him. In the next verse, Allah says, وَإِمَّا تُعْرِضَنَّ عَنْهُمُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتٍ إِبْتِغَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكَ تَرْجُوهَا. If now these people, relatives, the poor, the needy, and those who are upon a journey, إِمَّا تُعْرِضَنَّ عَنْهُمُ, if you want to avoid them, why do you want to avoid them? Because you don't have what to give to them. تُعْرِضَنَّ, you want to escape. عَنْهُمُ, you want to escape from them. Why? The need that they have asked of you, you don't have. Imagine that a traveler visits you. You have not even taken breakfast because you don't have. How will you be able to provide dinner for this guest? So one way or the other, you want to avoid that the guest has to stay with you so that the burdens of obligation, or a person who does not have, absolutely needy, comes and says, can you please, for the sake of Allah, help me upon this matter? You now want to avoid it. You want to keep away, because even you, what he's asking of you, you don't have it. Many of us will fall in this condition in the world. Someone is asking you for something you yourself don't have. You don't even have it. So you want to have a way of keeping away from being asked, or avoid giving an excuse over your inability to provide the need of that needy. That way of avoiding them is because you are expecting that maybe tomorrow I'll get it. Maybe next tomorrow I'll get the wealth. Maybe I'm expecting something, but right now I don't have. So how do you manage the situation? You are hoping in the mercy of Allah. That is, you are hoping that Allah will enrich you. You are hoping in tarjuha. You are hoping that very soon, I have a hope, Raja, that Allah will give me so I'm so wealth. Then I can spend for my near relatives. I can spend to the needy. I can take care of the visiting, traveling person. Allah says, فَقُلْ لَهُمْ. Within that time that you don't have, at the time that your expectation will be granted, فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. Say good words to them. Look at our religion. Say good words to your king and king. Oh, sorry, don't worry, inshallah, very soon. I hope that, don't worry, inshallah, I'll be able to say good words to them. Don't say evil words to your king and king in the situations that you require to take care of them, or to a person of need, or to a person that's upon a journey. This is the general meaning of this verse. Now we go into the meaning that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu gave regarding this verse. But we should not forget, the main reason why this verse has been cited under this chapter heading is to make us understand the importance of taking care of kids and kin, taking care of our family, taking care of our relatives. Why? Because Allah says, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. Give them their rights. He told us what to do when we have the money, to provide those rights, to fulfill those rights. He also told us what to do when we don't have the money to fulfill those rights. It means that right is a very, very big one that we must take care of. May Allah make it easy for us to be able to fulfill the rights of the kith and kin, the rights of the poor, the rights of the traveling people upon us. So here, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, radiallahu anhuma, badaha fa'amarahu bi'awjabil hukuk. Allah started and commanded the individual. Fa'amarahu bi'awjabil hukuk. Allah commanded him to take care of the most important of rights. From the most important of the rights of people, are the rights of our relatives. Don't forget, the first people on the list of our relatives are our parents. So this also takes care of the parents. It takes care of the parents. So when Allah says, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ, from that is بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. From that is بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. And that's why Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has started the book of Adab, Manas, with manners with our parents, because after Allah subhanahu, those in the next list upon the list of priority are our parents, after them then our relatives. So you see, our lessons have been about parents. Now the lessons are about what? Relatives. So Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Amarahu bi awjabi al-hukum. Allah commanded us to fulfill the most pressing of the rights. Wadallahu ala afdalil a'mal idha kana indahu shay. And then Allah guided him unto afdalil a'mal, the best of deeds. Idha kana indahu shay. If it happens that the individual has something on his hand, when you have the ability to give, Allah says, وَآتِذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَبِنَ السَّبِيلِ. Provide your kid and kin their rights. That is when you have. إِذَا كَانَ عِنْدَهُ شَيْءٍ. If you have something on your hand, the first on the list, your parents, and then your relatives. So these are from the best of good deeds. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, the meaning of this verse is that Allah guides mankind, Allah guides the Muslim on to the most pressing of rights. So the most pressing of rights on us are what? The rights of our parents. Then after that, what? The rights of our kids and their kin, our brothers, our sisters, our uncles, our aunts, our cousins. These are basic people after our parents that we must take care of. They have these rights of ours. Allah guided us to this right, and that he Ibn Abbas mentioned these rights as from the best of good deeds. He says, Amarahu bi awjabil hukuk. Allah commands the individual to fulfill the most pressing of the needs and rights on him. Wadallahu ala afdalil a'mal. And then he guided him onto the best of good deeds. Iza kana indahu shay. This is based upon the condition that he has the ability to fulfill that right. فَقَالَ وَآتِذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَبِنَ السَّبِيلِ. So وَآتِذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَبِنَ السَّبِيلِ. Ibn Abbas picked out two things from it. The first thing he picked out is that this is from أَوْجَبُ الْحُقُوقِ. This is from the most pressing of the rights of people of ours. حَقُّ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. It is from the most pressing of the rights on us. They are the rights of our kids and our kin. وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَبِنَ السَّبِيلِ. This is from the most pressing rights. The second thing Abdullah ibn Abbas picked out from that verse, radiallahu anhuma, is that fulfillment of that right, مِنْ أَفْضَلِ الْأَعْمَالِ, is from the best of good deeds that any person will engage in. And this is the major point of reference for this hadith under this chapter heading. He wants to make us understand that taking care of kith and kin is a major thing as far as our religion is concerned. Allah even gave us a verse in the Quran that shows that it is a right. And that verse is what? وَآتِذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَبِنَ السَّبِيلِ. The second thing Abdullah ibn Abbas said regarding this verse, radiallahu anhuma, he says, وَعَلَّمَهُ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عِنْدَهُ شَيْءٌ كَيْفَ يَكُونَ. Allah told him what to do when he has. And here, عَلَّمَهُ, he also taught mankind. He also taught the Muslim. إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عِنْدَهُ شَيْءٌ كَيْفَ يَكُونَ. Allah also taught him, كَيْفَ يَكُونُ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ عِنْدَهُ شَيْءٌ. Allah taught him what to say when he does not have. When he does have, he taught him what to do. When he does not have, he taught him what to say. He says, فَقَالَ وَإِمَّا تُعْرِضَنَّ عَنْهُمُ ابْتِغَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكَ تَرْجُوهَا فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. At the time that تُعْرِضَنَّ عَنْهُمْ, you want to avoid these people. ابْتِغَاءَ رَحْمَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكَ. At a time in which you expect some certain things from your Lord. Oh, I did a job. Inshallah, will be paid. So day. I hope that I'll be able to fulfill my duties. You say good words. Say good words. Allah says, فَقُلَّهُ. Say to your king and king, your family members, say a good word to them when they request it. And I know a man who is an epitome of this. I grew up to know this man. He was very close to my father. If you go to him for any need, he never tells you I don't have. He will say, inshallah, this, that, this, that. He will say good words to you that you may even feel there's no need to fulfill the need. Wallahi. He became known for it. Everybody knew him. If you went to this man for a need, he will say words to you that you will feel satisfied. In fact, you will feel as if the need is already sufficed. He is known for that. And Allah has given him a long life. Until as I speak, he's still alive. Even though when our own parents were alive 18 years ago, they were thinking that he was going to die because he fell very ill. People started bidding him by, sorry, Alhaji, sorry, sorry. All those elders at that time have passed away. He's still alive until as I speak now, he's alive. So these are from the things. Inshallah, we are coming back to that. From the rewards of things like this is that Allah will give you a long life. We are coming back to this, inshallah. There's a hadith specifically on this. That silatul rahim, if you want Allah to prolong your life, connect your family life. We are coming back to that. What does that mean? We are coming back to that. But we have seen this man overleave all those people who were bidding him by. And the sickness that he fell into was an illness people never thought that he was going to come out alive. Not to say come out healthy. He's healthy today. He has lived for 18 years after everybody thought that he was going to pass away. Why? If he cannot fulfill your need, wallahi, this man will say a good word to you. If you cannot fulfill the needs of your king and king, if you cannot fulfill the needs of the poor who approach you, if you cannot fulfill the need of a visiting, traveling person that comes upon you, فَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. Say to them good, beautiful words that will soothe them from the pains of their need. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, رَضِيَ anhuma, عِدَّةً حَسَنَةً. This is a very, very good promise. You will say good words to them. It's عِدَّةً حَسَنَةً فَقُولُوا لَهُمْ أَوْ فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. Say to them good, beautiful, easy words, soothing words, maysur. Words in which you find ease inside his mind when he hears it. So he says, iddatan hasana. Make good promises to them. Because you are expecting some. Don't worry, you are in fact, someone like you should be someone that I should help. You know that I will try. Bismillah, I'm working on it. I'm doing this. And they say good words to them. He says, عِدَّةً حَسَنَةً كَأَنَّهُ قَدْ كَانَ. As if the money is already there. You know, sometimes when the money is even there, or when the ability to fulfill the need is there, you say words to them before you now say, okay, take. So he's already feeling as if, yes, my need is already satisfied. كَأَنَّهُ قَدْ كَانَ وَلَعَلَّهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ إِنْشَاءَ. Perhaps it will also happen very soon. This is from the aspects of having good women. وَكَانَ يُوَجِبُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَيَجِبُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Mother, التَّفَاؤُلُ. The Prophet like us to have good women regarding some. So you give the person hope. Don't worry, inshallah. I'm expecting so. Oh, very soon I hope that my situation will change. My pocket situation will change. And then I'll be able to do this. You even say it, كَأَنَّهُ قَدْ كَانَ. As if what you expect has already come. And then he says, وَلَعَلَّهُ أَيَّهُ إِنْشَاءَ. Perhaps it will happen. You say good words to them. Allah taught us what to say when we don't have. And he taught us what to do when we have. And then the next verse says, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُكِكَ. As a Muslim, لَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُكِكَ. Allah says, do not make your hands become tied. مَغْلُولَة. Become tied, become connected, become, you know, as if it was tied with something to your neck. When a person rejects giving, he rejects giving, he rejects giving. It is as if his hand is tied to his neck. He hardly ever stretches the hand. He hardly ever stretches. So Allah says, La taj'al, don't be this kind of a person. Don't allow your hands to become tied to your neck. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, the meaning is that, don't be a person who never gives anything. there are some of the people, they only like to take everything, but they don't like to give anything. They want to take everything, but they never give anything. Don't be like this. Don't be this covetous taker. His mind and crave is in the wealth of others, but he never thinks about handing out anything to anybody. Sometimes we think of people like this, not knowing that it's because he does not have. But Allah does not make you see him as a person who does not have. Allah mentioned the people like that in Surah Al-Baqarah. People who, when you see them, tahsabuhum agniya min mala min al-ta'affufi, because of much of holding back, you think that they are very stupendously rich. You think they are so rich because they never ask anything for anything. And that was one of the advices the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Abu Huraira. If you are not a person who asks people, the people think that you are rich. He says, وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَكُمْ أَدْنَ النَّاسِ. Be pleased with what Allah has given. That small one, take it like that. تَكُمْ أَدْنَ النَّاسِ. You will be from the richest among the people. When they count rich people, they will count you. But you are not rich. So sometimes we may think that a person has. They nearly become annoyed. I'm asking you for so and so, and you are not providing me. He thinks that the man has. He thinks that he has. He doesn't have. So Allah says, don't be a person who never gives. He only craves and takes. He never gives. لا تجعل يدك مملولة إلى عنقك. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, the meaning of that is that لا تؤتي شيئا. Don't be a person who does not give anything. And then he says, وَلَا تَبْسُطُهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. Don't also be a person who just spreads out. Don't also spread the hand completely out. Don't be a person who doesn't give so much as if his hand is tied to his neck. Don't also be a man who is just so hand spread or open-handed that all that he has goes off his hand. So when all that he has goes off his hands, Ibn Abbas said, وَلَا تَبْسُطُهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ, means that تُؤْتِي مَا إِنَّكَ. Don't be a person who gives مَا إِنَّكَ. مَا here is سِيغَةُ الْأُمُّ. Don't be a person who gives all what is on your hand. Don't give all. Don't be a man whose hand is on the neck. Don't also be a man who just opens up all that he has and releases them. فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا, so that you don't sit down malum, blamed. A person who has laum on him, a person who has blame on him. How will he have a blame on him if he had given up everything? He will not be able to fulfill haqqu dhil qurba wal masakin wa ibn as-sabil. He will not be able to fulfill the rights of relatives. Why? He already gave everything out in charity yesterday. So this morning, his children will ask for what to eat. They will not have. His mother will ask for what to eat. They will not have. Don't be this kind of thing. Because that situation will bring you into the condition of blame. What kind of life are you living that you cannot feed your wife and your relatives? A needy comes to you, you can't provide. Yesterday they came, you can't. Yesterday they fought. They begin to blame you. But this man, are you sure he's okay? Don't put yourself in this kind of a situation. Ibn Abbas explained it and said, Yalumu kaman yatika ba. Because if you give everything out today, you are going to be sit down in blame. Yalumu kaman yatika ba. Those who come to you tomorrow will blame you. He has lost everything. Wala tajidu inda kashia. You will not find anything which you to be able to give. Fataqruda maluman, you'll be blamed. And then mahsura, you become a person that is left without anything. Hassara is a situation. If you have a hen now or a chicken, when we want to prepare them for food, what do? We dip them in hot water and remove them. When you remove the feather, hassara, you have made tahsir. What does it become? It becomes exposed. You have deprived them of all that with which they can cover and protect their honor. You expose them, hafasta. So that is mahsura. You become a man who is exposed. Because one of the things by which Allah protects an individual is what he has on his hand. Some of the people would have oppressed you if they think that you're poor. They would oppress you. That's why Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, who was stupendously rich, fortunately we had mentioned him earlier today, he was stupendously rich among the scholars of Islam. Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri, he was very, very rich. So when people ask him, how do you combine this level of knowledge and this level of wealth? He will point to that wealth. This thing, لَوْلَا هَذَا لَتَمَنْدَ لَبِنَا هَوْلَا لَوْلَا هَذَا لَتَمَنْدَ لَبِنَا هَوْلَا. If not for this stupendous wealth, those people will make us become like a tissue paper. And that is it. When people see you like LA, he does not have anything, they begin to treat you so badly. Why? Not having what something on your hand has exposed you to a lot of danger. It has exposed you to a lot of blames from your family. It has exposed you to a lot of blames from your wife, because she'll be blaming you every day. She'll blame you every day. You can't provide this every day, you're exposed to blame. So don't let it be that it is as a result of extended charity that you find yourself in this condition. This is what this verse is saying. Don't get into this kind of condition because you want to give charity, because you want to fulfill the rights of fakir and king, because you want to provide for the poor. Don't give in that in such a way that you yourself become exposed to danger. You become exposed. You become left without anything. May Allah protect us from being in this kind of a condition. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, the meaning of Mahsura is that Qad hasaraka man a'taytahu. Those that you gave, they have dispossessed you of your clothing, of your concealment. Hasaraka man qad a'taytahu. Those you have overgiven made you become a person who became exposed. You don't have anything. You are just there. You are left. You are ridden of clothes. You are ridden of a means of protecting yourself. This is the meaning of these verses, as Abdullah ibn Abbas has given them. This hadith, the point of reference in it is that connecting family ties and spending upon our family is from the rights that Allah has placed on us. When we have the ability to fulfill this right, we must fulfill it within the limits that Allah has established. And when we don't have the right, the ability to fulfill them, we must be of good speech. We must not return a situation in which we have a right to fulfill. And then you begin to employ negative statements. Am I the only one you can find? You can't go and find anybody else. You want to kill me with your lips. You want to kill me with your asking. You want to this, all of this. Sometimes the people become frustrated and they say things like, let us make sure that we don't talk like that. All of us, everybody, be sure that you mind what you say when you are not able to fulfill the needs of those who are dependent on you. Mind what you say. Be of good words, because that's what Allah has commanded you to say. It says, فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا أَوْ فَقُلْ لَهُ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. Say to them a nice, easy, soothing word when you don't have. But when you have, فَآتِذَمْ كُرْبَ حَقَّمْ. Give them their rights. So don't see it as a privilege. I'm taking care of my mother. It's not a privilege, it's a right you are fulfilling. I'm taking care of my father. In fact, if you see, I drive my father. It's a right you are fulfilling. It's not a privilege you're providing. Many of the people think that when they help Kit and Kin, when they provide the needs of Kit and Kin, it's a privilege. It is not a privilege, it is a right that you are fulfilling. It is an obligation that you are fulfilling, because Allah has commanded you. If you help the needy, you are only helping yourself. You are only helping yourself. You are fulfilling a right he has. If you are fulfilling the right of a person who travels and you are taking care of it, you are fulfilling a right. Many times people feel big when they hand out charity, because they think that they are providing a privilege to someone who does not have. You are not providing a privilege. You are fulfilling a right that is on you, that if you don't fulfill it, Allah will ask you about it. Not just a right, from amongst the most important rights are these rights that Allah has placed on. This is this hadith from Abdullah ibn Abbas. The point here I like to raise is that this hadith, this chain of report is weak. This isnad of this explanation of this verse by Abdullah ibn Abbas is a weak report. It has two defects. It has the first defect for the rest of our brothers who are interested in matters like this. In Abu Sa'id, the Sheikh of Sufyan al-Thawri in this hadith, Abu Sa'id, is a weak report of hadith. He's da'if. And then the scholars also say he's mudallis. The second defect is that Muhammad ibn Abi Musa la yu'raf is an unknown reporter. He's not a known reporter. His condition is not known. Is he reliable or not? We don't know. So this hadith is weak. But the meaning of this report is correct from all other things in the verse. More so that it's explaining a verse. And there is nothing in the explanation that shows that that is not the meaning. All that he has said regarding the verse are right and they are authentic. But just by the way of mentioning it, this chain of report has a level of weakness with it. I think this hadith is clear that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explained, this is about four verses he has explained, that wa'ati zal qurba haqqahu wal miskina wa bin as-sabil wa la tubadhir tadhira. Is a ta'aleem from Allah to us. It's a teaching from Allah to us regarding the most pressing rights that are on us, and that to fulfill those rights is from amongst the best of good deeds. When we have what by which we will fulfill these rights, and that wa imma tu'ridanna anhum ibtigha'a rahmatin min rabbika tarjuha فَقُلْ لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَيْسُورًا. It's from the aspects of when the individual does not have, he should avoid them and provide excuses in a very, very beautiful manner. The third advice, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَىٰ عُنُقِكَ. Don't be a person who is so stingy as if his hands are tied to his neck. وَلَا تَبْسُطُهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ. Don't also be a person who is so open-handed like a spendthrift. فَتَقْعُدَ مَلُومًا مَحْسُورًا. You are going to sit down blamed. You are going to become blamed. At the end of the day, when you spend, so to speak, recklessly, you are going to become blamed at the end of the day, and you are going to expose yourself. You are going to become a deprived person. Those that you give, your giving, makes you now become an exposed and deprived individual. This is a major lesson in the hadith today. I beg Allah to make us understand better than it has been said. Inshallah, in our next class, we'll be talking about the gains, other things of benefit that are connected to maintaining family ties and connecting family ties. That will be Babu Fadli Silatir Rahim. Inshallah, they are very, very beautiful and authentic hadiths under that chapter heading. We'll come back to them, inshallah, in our next class. But I hope that this explanation of these sets of verses is clear. And the major point of reference is that it shows us that connecting family ties is from the rights that Allah has commanded us to fulfill inside the Quran. I think we can stop here so that we can take a few questions, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan, ya Sheikh Anas.
Ameen, wa antum.
This question says, should we still spend on our parents and relatives if they are rich and not in need?
If the parents are rich and are not in need, we can provide them gifts. We can provide them hadiyah, gifts. Rich people exchange gifts amongst themselves. You can cook a kind of food inside your house that you know that your mommy or your daddy likes and take it to them. This is not about whether being rich or being poor. You know, oh, my mother likes so kind of fish. Those are the people who grew up in riverine areas like some of us. Till as I speak, we have parents who will order from all the way from the riverine areas the kind of fish that they like, saltwater fish. Say, go and look for so-and-so fish, the dried ones, bring them to me. So even if these people are rich, to do this kind of a thing, it's from the aspects of connecting family ties. It has not to do with whether the person is rich or not. The issue is that the kind of fish you are talking about, if you are in, for example, in, say you are in Kaduna, you cannot find this kind of fish in Kaduna. So you have to go to areas like Port Harcourt or Lagos to look for saltwater fish. that is now dried. You know, Ajabi Bear, they like to make good a foriro or good a egusi with it. Or that you make good imoyo with it that they can sip with spoon. They like these kinds of things. So it's not connected to being wealthy or not. Just look for something that they would like to buy them. By that evening, like, you will earn their pleasure. And then don't forget, we'd always ever mention this. Connecting family ties is not connected to giving material benefits alone. Sitting with our parents, talking to them, and all of this is still from the aspects of Birulwalidain. I hope that the point is clear. So we can still extend gifts to our parents, even if they are so rich that they don't need our wealth. They don't need it, but we can give them gifts. So it will not be from the aspects of sadaqah or things like this. It is from the rights of al-infaq who are actually spending upon those who have the rights. And then when we come from the angle of gifts, it will still be from the means of seeking goodness and good relationship with them. How many times even those who are politicians are less conscious regarding their religion? How many times have they exchanged gifts of so many things to their fellow rich friends? Most of the times, this is what you find. A rich man wants to hand out his daughter in marriage. His rich friend will tell him, don't worry, we'll provide you a cow, we'll give you a ram, I'll give you 10 bags of rice. This is what you find. If this same person has a poor friend, he may not give him half of that, unfortunately. So, but he wouldn't say at that time, oh, my friend is rich, he's rich enough to take care of the marriage of his daughter. But if he finds this same person because of little consciousness of religion, a young man goes to him and says, I want to marry tomorrow. He may not give him even a dime. Take care of your marriage. But when a fellow rich friend wants to marry, you tell him, don't worry, I'll buy the cow, I'll buy the ram, I'll buy the rice. After the marriage, I send your children to hatch you. You find all these kinds of things. So if we do that with our rich friends, why not we do that with our relatives? By way of connecting family ties and making sure that we enjoy ourselves, relate with ourselves well, and be happy with ourselves. The least benefit is that these people that you do well to like, this, they will be happy with you. And that is also matlub in this case. Allahu alam.
Jazakumullahu khairan, ya Shaykhana.
Ameen, wantu.
Now, this question says, how do we create a balance between disciplining kith and kin to become self-reliant while also giving those of them who ask?
Well, people talk about things like this. Become self-reliant, become self-reliant. Let's not base our relationship with people upon all these 1 + 1 = 2 that we read in modern-day economics. Modern-day economics, modern-day thoughts have affected some of our approach to these things. If demand is in need, don't start asking, I want you to be independent. Oh, what are you doing? What? Yes, you can ask him by way of completely making him become free from asking. You can do that. But now he wants a need fulfilled. Fulfill his need. Because sometimes by the time you begin to ask him some of these questions, he begins to feel embarrassed. And that is not appropriate. He begins to feel embarrassed. Even if you want to ask and be sure that he's self sustaining. How many people have been self-sustaining yesterday? Just yesterday. By this morning, they became people who need help and assistance from people. How many people have come in that situation? So let's play down that. Play down. Play down that. Oh, he must be disciplined. I must be disciplined with him. And then he's in a situation of need. You are not providing him because you think you want to make him be disciplined. You are not fulfilling your rights. Is what Allah told you. So give him. Give him. By that, you have fulfilled your own aspect of it. If you are wanting him to be disciplined and all of this, that is about him. It is not about you. Your own is that give him when he's in need. Is in need, give him. Is in need, provide for him. That may now, your provision for him may involve setting him up upon a business and all of this. Yes. But that still does not remove the fact that I have to give him. Let me cite a hadith and stop there. A companion went to the Prophet Muhammad. He says, I have a friend. He's not working as hard as he should work. He's usually busy with learning, study, and all this. But he's always coming to me, hey, my friend, I have a need. Oh, my friend, I have a need. What should I do regarding this friend? You know what the Prophet said? La'allaka turzaqu bihi. Perhaps the risk that Allah is providing you is for his sake. The Prophet didn't say, he has to be disciplined. He has to be all these our economic theories that we start quoting. It sometimes brings us into a situation that we should not be. Your duty is in a need. You can confirm he's been in a need. Is he truly in a need? How are you coping? How are you managing? I don't have this. I need this. I don't take that. And that will be what you can afford at that. Give him that one. That is what Allah has asked you to do. Allah has not asked you to discipline him. Did he? Allah ask you to discipline him? He did not. He said, give him if he's in need. So don't make it an issue. Let's start talking. Let's start investigating. At the time you are still talking and investigating and disciplining him, this man is in serious need. He's in serious need. That standard, he is in need. What do you think Allah will do to you? And you have the ability. You are only saying that you want to discipline him. What do you think you are earning? You are holding back his right with you. You have the ability to fulfill. You are not fulfilling it. Because you think you have brought up a principle, you want to discipline him. So you have held back a way and assistance that you should give him. You have robbed yourself from two angles. You have suspended the reward of the good deeds from your giving him. And then you are doing what Allah has not asked you to do. And the man is in need. You have not fulfilled your rights. So let's play less of all of these. If the man is in need, provide his need. Provide his need. There are some of the people, if you give them, no matter what you give, no matter what you plan, no matter how much discipline you discipline, he's still going to come back into a situation of need. So why are you killing yourself over, I want to make him difficult discipline? Actually, some of these expressions have made some of the people to become very stingy people. It made them to become very stingy people. They say they want to discipline the people. They want to discipline. Don't give him sometimes. Give him sometimes. And the man is in need. You are his family member. You now make him go back to those who are not from his family to seek the needs. When you have, think of it. So the disadvantage is, so to say, of holding back when you can help him is far much more than whatever advantage you think you want to bring home by holding what you are able to give him at the time of his own need, holding it back from him. You are bringing a lot of disadvantages than whatever advantage you envisage and think that you want to achieve. Allahu alam.
This question says, please, are the beggars we see on the street included in the meaning of this verse, that is the needy? So I think he is asking this question because many people believe the beggars we see on the street are rich. In fact, somebody told me personally that it is not right for me to be fidia to them. So I would like you to enlighten us.
Well, like we said, we can affirm people's condition of need. We know the documentary about the 10 richest beggars in the world. There's a documentary about the 10 richest beggars in the world. Some of them have millions of pounds in their accounts. They did a lot of things. So if you confirm that this person has, is only begging upon what he has, then don't provide. He's not amongst the masakin. He's not miskin. He's not miskin. If he has, he's not a miskin. The need is not there. But if you affirm that the need is actually there, then you help him. I think we mentioned that in the course of the lecture. It applies to very many other situations. So instead of saying you want to discipline him, you want to do this, or her, as the case may be, you may just confirm that if the person really in need, if he's really in need, provide him the need. As much as Allah enables you. So I think the point in the question is centered around affirming the condition of the person you want to give your money or whatever to, as far as the masakin are concerned. If it's the beggar on the street, he's actually in need. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, some of the beggars, professional beggars, will work from the morning to the night and will hardly find someone to give them anything. Do you know that? Because Arzak and Makdura, what will come to your hand as your own, wallahi, they are preordained by Allah. Some beggars will be there from morning till night. When they give others, when it comes to them, the what they have shared will become finished. They are giving 10 people, he's number 11. They have, there is 10 100 naira notes. And there are 12 beggars. He is number 11. Where will the money end? It will not reach him. And then another one starts and has only 100 naira note. It starts from number 12. Once they give to number 12, they raise their hands. It's finished. So on both occasions, yes, money has been shared at that same spot. And on both occasions, he didn't get anything. Some people will pass by a street, they will get things two times. He will come and pass and they say, oh, all that they have had have been collected by those who are coming. So not all beggars are in the same condition. Not all beggars are in the same condition. So sometimes too, to find the beggars is a thing of favor. A brother told me 3 days ago that sometimes in the place where he lives, he finds it difficult to find that he was just talking about his environment. He finds it hard to find, who do I give something? Especially during Ramadan, find people in some parts of the world looking for who to give their sadaqah to. And in other parts of the world, you find people start telling you, please, Abu, if people give you sadaqah to Peter, don't forget to extend to us. So we need it to back tomorrow. We don't have anything for it. They start booking, start writing them down, write their names and their telephone numbers down. These are things that happen. So I think what this question is centered upon is verifying the actual condition of the person who asks for a need. That's not right. I hope that this basic rule will help us to solve similar other problems regarding. Someone begs, you want to confirm. Is he really in need? Yeah, if he's in need, you help. But while doing that, make sure that you do not abuse the sense of responsibility and respect of the person who has come to ask you, because Allah could have placed you, the giver, to be the one who is asking, but that he has honored you and placed you in the condition that you are the one being asked. You should thank Allah for that favor. I think we can stop here, Abu Yusuf. Allah will meet in the next class, the next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I mean, one, two.